Good morning, church. If you're walking away with your kids, don't do it yet. I got jokes. All the kids laugh. All the adults go, oh. Well, good morning, church. Welcome to Living Hope Church. My name is Mr. Gerald. I am the youth director here, and I always like to share with jokes because they're fun. What do you call a friendly caterpillar? A social butterfly. Oh, don't worry, they get worse. What do you call a sick alligator? An illigator. What did the pastor say to the teacher? Sorry, what did the parrot say to the teacher that didn't prepare for his sermon? Just wing it. Duba was not amused. All right, now children 3 to 5, you may leave if you haven't already. All right. So this past week, it has been VBX. And as you can tell by the sign behind me, the Great Jungle Journey. But before we get into any of that, I just want to say a thank you a couple times. Number one, I want to say thank you to the kids. If you didn't come, there'd be no one to dance with. If you didn't come, there'd be no one to ask amazing questions about the Bible. If you didn't come, we couldn't do cool science experiments. And if you didn't come, who's going to play all the fun games? So kids, thank you for being here. For the leaders, for the lots of leaders, if you didn't come, we wouldn't have great backup dancers, because trust and believe, you were not the main show. But if you didn't come, we wouldn't have people to actually teach Scripture, the Word of God. If you didn't come as leaders, we'd have no one to keep the kids safe from the experiments. Suddenly every parent just panicked. And leaders, if you didn't come, the kids have no one to play games with and be silly with. And if you did not come as a leader to the church, we thank you. Without your support, 60 kids would not have had a safe place to just be silly. 60 kids wouldn't have been able to hear God's word spoken to them each and every day. 60 kids wouldn't have learned how much they are cared for and how much they are loved. And 60 kids would not have had an opportunity to have an experience like they did this week, learning about their God, learning about their Creator, and learning about the future and the hope they have in it. This week, our main theme was from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. We went through this verse, not as the verse as it is, but going through the story of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. Just for the record, because we were doing all the dance moves up here, and then we went into a time of worship. It was really weird not doing hand motions of some sort. And I realized very quickly, it's way more fun doing worship song with kids because it's very more active, and I don't mind being silly before my God. I've come to the conclusion, if I'm more involved in it doing that, I think it's okay to raise hands. I think it's okay to have a little groove in your step as you're praising to God. One of the cool songs that we did, and I can't even remember the name of the song. That's how cool it was. I wasn't focused on the name. But there was a part where literally you look at the congregation of all the children, and all you see is everyone's hands raised, praising God. How cool that is. So this week, we went over 7 C's. Now, if you're curious, that doesn't math right, because there's 5 days and 7 C's. So a couple of them had 2. It's okay. We'll explain both. But they all involved the Word of God, and they all included some kind of science just for fun, something that was made it tangible and something that they can grasp onto and hopefully look at nature and look at science the way that it's designed. And half the congregation goes, science, but science and God, does that work? We'll get there, calm down. But before we go any further, let's pray. God, we thank you for this morning. And God, we thank you for this past week, the opportunity for kids to hear your word day after day after day. And God, we thank you for those who are here this morning, whether it be a repeat, whether it be something they've already heard before, God, I pray that you move, and that your word is clear on who you are and why we should be thankful for who you are as God. So bless this time today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you look at your outlines on the back of your little pamphlet thing, what is that called? Bulletin, there it is. It has an outline. I followed the rules of all good pastors. Apparently, you have to have 5 points. And then because I'm not a good pastor, I'm a youth director, I added a sixth one. So we have the first C, and the first C stands for? Creation. Hey, C is for creation, not cookie. C is for creation, and we used scripture. What's a better place to start than Genesis 1:1? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So we're going to start there. God, the maker of some things. No, we have God, the maker of all things. From the beginning of time, God was there. And he said, I'm going to make things in 7 days. No, God's better than that. He made it in 6 days. The seventh day was just for resting. But we want to focus on the creation part of it. And there was a very scientific part that they wanted us to go over in the teaching. And I'm not sure how the other teachers went about this. Surprise, surprise, I went rogue. And we didn't talk about the Big Bang specifically. We didn't talk about, as they put it, the story of Dot, you know, that little dot that flew through the universe and somehow everything came out of it. We talked about God. We could have gone and said, okay, well, let's talk about how in the Big Bang theory, something came from nothing. In the Big Bang theory, chaos became order. In the Big Bang theory, darkness came to light. Now, just for the record, we could spend multiple teachings on just this. Josh says I have until 4 p.m. tonight. Duba says otherwise. So we're going to go with trying to limit how much time we talk about this. But in the beginning, there was literally nothing and it became something. So instead of going over that story, which you can talk about the theory of science, we went with the story of God, and we just simply read Genesis 1. It's a great idea for the kids. Let's talk about what God did. This is what happened day 1. This is what happened day 2. This is what happened day 3, 4, 5, and 6. When he finished his days, he said, it is good. When he finished the sixth day, which includes us at this point, he stepped back and said, it is very good. Now, this is an important distinction for us to realize, because at the point that he stopped creating and he said, this is where we're going to be, he looked at it with us included and said, this is perfection. Now, I'm going to go walk with my creation because it is perfect. We are, by design, here. For every child that was here, they hopefully walked away with the understanding God created you, and it was good. You are wanted, created by the Creator, not happenstance, not a mistake, not an issue, not a problem. God created you and said, yes, you are how I want you to be. But for you, I want to dig into this just a skosh more. Genesis 1:1 starts the Bible for us, the way that we read it, in the beginning God created. What happens if you can't get past that verse? I know many that can't. I have a dear friend of mine that I work with, and we have had multiple conversations. Let's talk about some of the other stories in the Old Testament. Let's talk about the parables in the New Testament. Yeah, those are good stories. Let's talk about Jesus. Yeah, he was a good teacher. Let's talk about his miracles. Let's talk about the cross. Let's talk about salvation. He goes, hold on, Gerald. I can't get past the first verse. How am I supposed to get to the part where you tell me that my sins are saved, or my sins are forgiven, and that I am saved and get to be with this Creator? I don't believe in the Creator. I can't tell you to believe in the Bible. And if I go to Scripture, I can go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. All Scripture is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training righteousness. The hard part is that if you're using the Bible to prove the Bible, you still get the problem of like, well, I don't believe the Bible in the first place. Like, I understand that, but let's break it down some more. Let's look at mainstream science where they have proven the Big Bang Theory. The problem is, in order to prove something, you have to be able to replicate it. And you might hear, well, okay, well, prove to me that God created it. I can't. Well, then all you're doing is having faith that some God created the universe. Yep, and all you're having is faith in some little dot that was floating around and nothing created everything. At least my idea, which, if you really want, we can go down at some point. When I look at it, I see a God that created all the things, a designer on purpose for the reason of me being with him. Not just some cosmic God that just floats around and says, all right, there we are. No, but a loving, caring God. That means I'm actually cared for. That means that my life has a purpose, that my life has a point. So when we talk about let's go after creation, let's talk about the God that creates because he loves us. Let's talk about the God that creates with a purpose. Let's talk about the God that created perfection. And then when everything went downhill, God said, yeah, we're not going to keep it that way. But before I get too far ahead of ourselves, let's hop to day two. Get it? Hop, because the never mind. Day two. Second and third C's here are corruption and catastrophe. And we'll use verse Psalms 14:3. They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. So God creates perfection. And man goes, psh, look what I can do. And we ruin it because we think we know better. The perfect design has now fallen. We are no longer able to be with God. Picture for just a moment being in the garden, and we talk about God, and it's God, and it's God, and it's God. Could you imagine what would happen if you were actually able to walk side by side with God in the garden again? How many of you would like to do that? Wouldn't that be cool? To be able to just not have it be 100 and sweltering outside. It's a nice, cool 72 all the time. Maybe a nice little breeze, pretty flowers everywhere. Like, that'd be awesome. But we don't have that because we have corruption. We have the sin that entered the world and ruined that connection that we have with God. We look at that and we say, yep, this is what happened with Apple. That's why they're evil. No. We see the fruit that was eaten, and we say, well, because of this, this is what happened, and it went downhill from there. There's a story of Cain and Abel. We didn't even touch that. A bunch of other stuff happens. We get to Genesis chapter 6, where the Lord regretted that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. How bad does it have to be when the loving Creator looks at his creation and says, I am grieved. and yet man found a way to do this. God's solution for this corruption was catastrophic. And we know this because then we get to Genesis 7, where we look at the flood of the entire earth. All of it. This is not some local flood. And the only people that are saved are Noah and his family. And two of every kind. Now we talked very quickly about Noah's ark. Because you hear the story of Noah's ark and you're like, psh, that's preposterous. That's impossible. That couldn't be the case. Only need kinds, not types of animals. Therefore, yeah, you can have two kinds. Think of wolves and dogs. You have two wolves and suddenly you have all these different dogs. So you have a kind. Let's be real fun here because I like dinosaurs. Dinosaurs were on the ark. Dinosaurs would fit on the ark. Did you know dinosaurs, those really big monsters, they came in baby form too? Just throwing that out there. And yes, the ark as it is specifically described in Scripture does float really, really well. So yes, that is very possible. And the fact that the water covered the entire earth makes it catastrophic. So at the end of the day, who was left? Noah and his family. Everything else is wiped away. This is the result of sin. Sin is why we don't get to have nice things. Because God has to go and wipe it all away and say, no, we're not doing this. We got to figure this out. There were consequences to the sin that was in the world, and they were really, really big consequences. That doesn't make it wrong, not when it's coming from a righteous God. It makes it just. There is a purpose for it. And we use that to get into day three, the fourth C, which is confusion. Just like the fact it's point three in the fourth C, it's confusing. Fourth, that was funny, guys, come on. Look, no, it wasn't. It wasn't funny at all. The fourth C took us to Genesis chapter 11, verse 9. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. For some reason, I don't know what it is, and we watch the Israelites, they do the exact same thing. And we look at Old Testament and we go, it's the same story over and over. We don't learn. To take it one step more, we look at all the Old Testament stuff and go, dummies. They never learned not to be rebellious against God. They never learned not to sin. They never learned that there were consequences to their sins. And then today, we look at ourselves and go, oh, wait a second. My very recent history is not hundreds of years ago. It's in the past 38. We don't learn. As a human race, for whatever reason, we don't figure out the fact catastrophic things happen. And so God looked at what man was starting to do, still with Noah being alive at the time, looking and saying, I know what happened last time we tried to be rebellious against God. It didn't bode well for the earth. No. We are better than that. We are going to make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. We are going to build a tower. We're going to build this tower to the heavens. And we're going to do this so that we can prove how great and wonderful we are. Because we're just going to stay in this little land that we found that we like a lot. And God looks at them and goes, no, that's not what we're going to do. Was building a tower wrong? No would be the correct answer. No, and that's good because we have towers all over the world now. Is being rebellious against God wrong? Yes. You were much faster on that one. Good. Yes, being rebellious against God is the exact opposite of what we should be doing. And these people at the time, their focus was to do this not because it was fun, but because they were doing it deliberately against God. Look how great and mighty we are. And when they were told, guess what? You are going to multiply and cover the earth. They went, nah, we're good right here. And God, being a just and righteous God, looked at them and smote them all. Smited? Doesn't really matter. It's not what he did. God, being a loving God, said, okay, then I'm going to confuse your language. And I'm going to force you to disperse. Because I gave you the command to go out, be fruitful, multiply, cover the earth, and you disobeyed me. Again, we see there was a consequence to the sin that was committed. Because of their rebellion and because of their arrogance, and God, loving them, said, I'm not going to just wipe you out, which he could. I'm going to force your hand on this one. In Acts 17, it says this. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. Their arrogance was directly against the God that provided them with everything. And there was a consequence. We get to day 4, where we have the 5th and the 6th sea. We have Christ and the cross. And in John 1, verse 12, it says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Now, for those of you who've ever done VBS or know how the system works, day 4 is when we get to the real part of why we do VBX. We get to talk about Jesus. We get to talk about the Christ, the one who knew no sin, the perfect, flawless Lamb of God, one that was there at the beginning. And he was there as the plan to get us back to that time. Jesus is our Savior. To clarify, because we forget sometimes, in order to need a Savior, you need to be in a position to be saved. We are there. We spent 4 days explaining how humanity is at a point we're in trouble. Each and every one of us individually. You can look on any news and realize we are in trouble. We are not in a good place. This is not what God intended for us when he made us. But there were consequences to the actions that were made. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. There is a consequence for our sin, and it ends in death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, there's already built into this an action plan. There is a free gift. For all who receive him, who believe in his name, they are given the right to become children of God. When Christ went to the cross, the perfect, flawless one, who never sinned while he was here on earth, because he's God and he can do that, he went to the cross and he paid the penalty that I owe. I owed that penalty. He goes, no, I'm going to pay for it on the cross. We may not build physical towers ourselves, but trust and believe, our rebellion builds them for us. We break his rules, we break his laws, we question him as God. That is what we are doing when we look at scripture, when we look at him and we go, I don't know if this is true or not. We are questioning the creator of the universe. But his plan was for Jesus to come for the purpose of going to the cross for us. Who am I to question the creator of the universe? I can't. I have no standing on this. None whatsoever. And why would I? He created a way for me to be with him. He created a way for me to go be with him again in perfection. And he showed his love for me when Jesus went to that cross. And this was designed for all who believe. Now, I want to clarify here. For those who believe, knowing simply isn't enough. You cannot sit there and go, well, Mr. Gerald, I've heard all the stories. I could tell you about Cain and Abel. I know Jonah and the big fish. I heard the story of Esther. It's all great. Like, that's awesome. I'm glad you know the stories. What else? Oh, I know the miracles Jesus did. Okay, is he God? But that's not enough. Knowing stories isn't going to be enough. Going to church isn't going to be enough. Having your parents be Christians doesn't make you one. It's not enough. It is a personal decision each and every one of us at some point has to make. They must make. We are forced to choose. And all it takes is looking at everything going on and saying, you know what? I accept the fact that I am a sinner. I accept the fact that I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. I believe that Jesus is in fact really and truly the Son of God. And he was sent for the purpose of being my Savior, to save me, to pay my penalty. And I confess through his life, through his death, and through his resurrection that he is indeed God. And he is worthy of being praised and being followed each and every day. Amen. This is the God I serve. And I was blunt with the kids on day 4. I'm going to be blunt with you now. Do you just know Jesus? Have you heard these stories and say, they're just fairy tales? And never really truly committed to God. Do you think it's just too good to be true that this Jesus, he's not saving you. He's saving everyone else but you. First off, don't be so conceited. You're not that great, nor are you that bad. But Jesus is that good. His death on the cross was for you too. Why? Because he has a plan. And he has a plan specifically for you. You are a part of this story. Now, day 5 was the seventh sea consummation. If that's too difficult to spell, completion. Thank you. Revelation 21, verse 7, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. What is all of this for? It's because there was a perfect world in the beginning. Not only can we get back there, we will get back there. It is only a matter of time. It is a certainty. It is a guarantee. I've read the end of the book. I know how it ends. That's where we are. In perfection. Again, the way God designed it to be. God wins. Sin and death are conquered. Amen. And that is something that should just put this huge joy in us. Think of this world and how it would be without sin. There are things that we see, the easy ones. For example, the silly things. Like, I love how beautiful waterfalls are. How much prettier would they be if sin wasn't in the world? I love the ocean. How awesome and majestic would that look without sin in the world? I love gardening. What would happen if all the soil was good? Wouldn't that be awesome? No rocks in the soil, not having to rake them all out. What if we could get flowers of every variation, with no thorns? Okay, you're not nearly as impressed as I am. I think this would be awesome. What about, okay, we'll put it this way, something more, what about food as far as the eye can see? and a giant feast where we get to all sit and eat? Okay, there we go. There, that got more reaction. What about no poisonous or venomous creatures? Okay, there we go. Now we're starting to get, see, this is more like what I'm used to. Like, you guys can talk. It's okay. We look at the world through our own eyes, and we see these things and these details, and we go, that would be really, really cool. But we get to verse 7, and verse 7 is very specific about this. Let's talk about the reality of what it's going to be like when we are with God in heaven. Number one, there will be no tears. They won't be needed anymore. There will be no death. It's not going to be a thing. There will be no mourning. There will be no crying. There will be no pain. Yeah. It will literally be back to the way it was supposed to be by design from the beginning. Now, we briefly spoke to the kids about how great heaven's going to look, but set that aside. Yes, it's going to be very, very pretty. But you know what's going to be better? God will be there. With no sin interrupting our relationship. No sin around us in the world with the people and the things that are going on. It is just purely us with God. No sun, moon, and stars because we don't need it because God's light will be so bright on its own. I don't know what that looks like, but I'm already impressed. I'm already amazed, and I'm already honored that I get to be there with him. That is enough, because he wants us there too. We have a reason to be excited. Now, my bonus point here, C is for, anyone, anyone? Cremation. I'm trying to think if I can work that in somehow. I don't think I can. No, we're going to do C is for celebrate. Celebrate. Celebration. Pick one. Woohoo! Celebrate. This point, technically, I want to do the first five because that's what VBX was. This point is kind of in between steps four, day four and day five. This is the time between the work that is done on the cross, the victory that completed over sin and death, and where we're going to be in heaven. It's where we're sitting at right now. This is our time. This is right now. This is right this second. This is our lives we are living. Celebrate. Celebrate. We, a couple weeks ago, had youth camp. So I can do both in one teaching. We had youth camp 2 weeks ago, and the idea behind it was of rescuer, of Jesus being the rescuer. And again, you only need a rescuer if you need to be rescued. We need to be rescued. We need desperately to be rescued. And we went over this verse, Luke chapter 15. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Now, I spent 3 days on this verse. It says, I got time. I got 3 days. Let's go. I want to take this and use what we've learned for VBX, and I want to express something very, very clearly. If you have been a follower of Jesus for any length of time, if you call him Christ, if you've heard the stories, you realize your need to be rescued, you're content and grooving with your relationship with God, that's awesome. I have a question. When was the last time that we stopped and celebrated when we were rescued? Myself included in this. When was the last time that I looked at that and said, man, I am joyful. Man, I am excited. Man, I live my life looking back at that rescue, knowing that I was given a life, a chance, an opportunity that I shouldn't have. And when have I stepped aside and just became one of the complaints at 99. No, I'm already saved. I'm good. I'll just low-key it over here. No. No, we should be able to celebrate right now in between the cross and consummation. We sit today saying, I have a reason to celebrate because I was rescued. I, at one point, was the one. I was the one. And God looked at me and said, you, come here. I want you. I created you. I chose you. Follow me. And me going, the creator of the universe just spoke to me? How can I say no? What are you rescuing me from? I'm rescuing you from death. I'm rescuing you from mourning. I'm rescuing you from your sins. I'm rescuing you from the life that you live, and I'm promising you perfection. At some point in the future, you're going to work on your holiness now, and you're going to celebrate and have a joy that this world cannot understand because they don't have it, they can't have it, they won't have it, they'll never have it. But you have it. You get it. Celebrate it while we are here. That rescue back then is no less special today than it was then. And Jesus continues to every day rescue us. Every time we turn to him and go, God, help me. This is where I'm at. Help me. And he does. And we are rescued day after day after day. That is worth celebrating. If you have not met Jesus, if you have not turned to him and said, you are the Christ, you are the Savior, you are the rescuer, you are my God. If you look at me and say, but I need more evidence or proof, I will look at you and say, you are running out of time. And you are running out of excuses. This world has more than enough proof of God. Scripture has more than enough proof of who he is. The people around you that love you and care for you and continue to tell you about this Jesus love you so much that they risk awkwardness in order to say, but let me tell you about this God, not for just right now, but because of the future that it entails. The gospel we share at VBX and the gospel we discuss at camp is simple. It literally was seven C's. It's simple because the gospel is simple, and it's complex in its simplicity. There are things that I'm never going to fully understand. There are things that will never be figured out by design. But we must realize that each and every one of us are forced at some point that we must make a choice. Am I going to doubt that the Bible is true? Am I going to say that there's no caring creator, that there is no loving God, that there's no future hope, and live in that? Or will I come to a point where I say, I believe that the Bible is in fact true? That these aren't some just fairy tale stories, but they are real stories of a good creator, a righteous judge, an infinite sustainer, a sovereign savior, and a loving redeemer. That's the God we follow. That's the God that created. That's the God worth celebrating. Our God is so good. Our God is so good. And if that's true for you in your life, then rejoice. Rejoice in the word that was spoken this last week and the work that was done with the children. Rejoice at the time that you were first rescued. Rejoice in the fact that there was a point that we said, God, I need you, and he was by our side. And we can rejoice today and tomorrow and the next day. And rejoice that we get to serve a God that is truly worth serving. This is why we teach the kids at VBX. This is why we meet together to rejoice in celebration of what God has given us. Let's pray. God, we thank you so very much for how good of a God you are. You're honored that we even get to be here, created by the Creator, and then called out by you to follow you. And as we go through Scripture and as we go through the creation of everything in the history of the world, we realize that you were there and that you love us more than words can ever say. God, as we go into our time of worshiping together, praising your name, let us cry out to you and sing how good of a God you are. And rejoice in that salvation we have. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.